heavenly firepower. Jesus told his disciples that they must remain in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came and empowered them. And in Acts chapter 4, we are told that when the Holy Spirit came upon them, he manifested himself by the heavenly element of fire in the form of tongues of fire that touched them all. This indicated that they now possessed a heavenly source of spiritual power. Healing power began to manifest itself shortly after the day of Pentecost, when Peter and John, through the power of the name of Jesus, healed the lame man at the Gate Beautiful of the temple in Jerusalem. That firepower equipped them to confirm their gospel message with powerful miracles, signs, and wonders, even to the raising of the dead to life again. The consuming, cleansing power of that fire was manifested when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit concerning the amount of money they had received for the sale of their property, and hypocritically pretended to have given it all to God in an offering. Because they lied to Peter in the very presence of God, that consuming fire of God flamed out and cleansed the church of that deceptive spirit that manifested itself through them. Obviously, the apostles already began to become fire creatures like unto those seen by Ezekiel in the world of the Spirit. The firepower of God was within them, the part of their very natures, and became the source of their very powerful ministry. Ezekiel saw in picture form what God intends to make his children, sons of fire. Sons not only born out of the fire, but that fire is the love of God burning within them. Moses took 70 elders up into the edge of the fires that burned on Mount Sinai, but they were terrorized and despised the fire of God. They wanted nothing more to do with God and his fire. "You go up, Moses, and talk to that God of fire," they said. "We want nothing more to do with it, ever again." Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verses 4 and 5. "The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount." And again in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 24 and 27, and I quote, "And you said, Behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness. And we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it." What a sad mistake those 70 elders made that wondrous day when God invited them up into the fire of his majestic presence. Instead of welcoming and appreciating that high privilege and honor, they were so afraid of the fire of God that they wanted nothing else to do but escape from that wondrous presence. They did not recognize that it was a burning fire of intense love, divine. Was it their conscience, perhaps, that made them fear that fire? The fire of God will manifest itself in many different ways. Even as the fire-originated power men use on earth manifests itself in a multitude of ways. It will give power to run machines, or heat the kitchen stove to cook one's food. Fire will heat the house in winter, or cool it in summer. Fire will frighten the fearful with lightning and thunder, or illumine the darkness of a room at night by welcome light. So many people are afraid of the fire of God. Don't get too fired up with religion, they say. Don't be fanatical and get too religious or too close to God. It's all right to go to church, but don't overdo it. Such people are afraid of that fire. Power from the fire of God can kindle into flames the zeal of his disciples, can capture hearts by the burning beauty of its love, can flame forth in power to heal the sick, or bring sight to blind eyes and sound to deaf ears. It can consume the shackles of the captives of sin and Satan and be a light to the pilgrim's pathway. It can turn water into wine to bring joy to a wedding and bring sweet comfort to the grieving soul. It can multiply bread and fish to the hungry multitude or raise Lazarus from the chains of death and leave the tomb of Jesus Christ empty forever. It is true that the fire of God is a consuming fire, and it will consume fleshly lusts and prides and jealousies and envies and all such like. It will also consume the idols of the heart and tolerate only one first love of the heart, and that is God alone, the true and living God, aflame himself with love, and will permit no rivals for the heart of man. The cherubim that Ezekiel saw in his vision bore the image of God in the sense that they were flaming within and without. The original plan and intention of God, to make man in his image, can never be fulfilled without God the Creator making them flames of fire with a divine fire burning within and without. When the heart is aflame with the love of God, the prayers, praise, and worship will flow forth with great intensities. Spiritual exercises will not be done in apathetic rites or placid ceremonial responses, because the fire burning within them will kindle strong intensities. The fire creatures know burning yearnings for God as flaming desire, a burning thirst for the living God. They will know the deep longing expressed by David in Psalm 63 when he cried out, "My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." And again in Psalm 84, "My soul longeth, yes, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." A fire has implacable hunger for more of its required fuel. It will wane and die if it finds nothing more to feed on. A fire is never satisfied, but ever looks for more fuel for its life. And the more it can find, the more hungry and voracious it becomes. In the same way, the fire of God burning in the fire creatures is an ever-increasing desire for more of God. And without his fire burning within them in an everlasting flame, they would lose the very essence of their being.